Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update, this week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet-sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight. It feels so good.
It feels so good.
I just got one little question for you, girl.
Yes.
Will you accept this role?
I don't know. Have I been vaccinated first?
Oh, will you accept this?
Then maybe I will. Maybe I'll accept a rose. I don't really accept anything after being locked in my house for a year. Whatever you need to bring me after 1 year in my hidey hole, I will accept your rose. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Will You Accept This Rose? My name is Arda Moran, coming to you from my bougie garage in Los Angeles, California. Guys, here we are. Spring has sprung. So excited to have these gentlemen with us. Excuse me, it's raining men, and I'm not angry about that. With us is a gentleman that I'm going to say you guys have all gone bananas for. He's been on numerous times, and he's already a fan favorite. He is really bookending his season. He did draft picks with us. He's so deep in it now. And, we love this guy. We can't get enough of him. You know him from the Daily Zeitgeist podcast. You know him from the 420 Day Fiance podcast. You guys went batshit for him with he and Lacey Mosley a couple weeks ago. Normally we have everybody on here has a title. So we have, we have our Secretary of State, we have our Rookie of the Year. So Ann and I were talking about what title he should have. We were going to say that he was Stoner in Charge, but then I figured that Doug Benson might be competitive with that. Doug Benson might not like that. So I was thinking maybe in honor of what he calls his lady, perhaps we could call you His Majesty. How do you feel about that? Ladies and gentlemen, His Majesty, Miles Gray.
Thank you. His Highness is here. Yes.
Oh, His Highness. There
his
you
hiney.
Go.
His Highness. His
Highness. Your Highness.
His Highness.
Yeah. It is a full disclosure, I didn't catch the full After the Rose, just so you know.
That's okay, all, that's fine.
Because once I knew what happened, I was like, I get it.
Okay,
fair
enough.
I just want to say that out front. I just want to put that out front.
Didn't see Emmanuel Acho in his tiny suit?
No, I did see that in the tight fucking sleeves. Get it, Emmanuel. Yeah, you're working out.
He looks,
but
yep.
Yeah, I saw the clips, but I mean, I didn't actually go through the entire episode.
So I get that.
It was with the Rose Party.
I respect that. Before we get going, I just want to say one thing. Just a reminder, if you guys are like jonesing for Bachelor and you want an escape, Anna and I are breaking down Bachelor in Paradise Australia on our Patreon. And Anna has shown Miles a clip of what I have to say should be nominated for an Emmy in Best Comedy Performance, scripted or unscripted. There is a character on here who's a gentleman. He's 40 years old. His name is Jamie. He is in love with his best friend, Tim, who is a 27-year-old Bachelor contestant, even though he thinks he's straight. And he thought Tim was leaving. And the reaction and the tears, and then he threatens to leave. Miles,
you want me to play some of it? I have it.
Play a little bit of audio. This is a 40-year-old man trying to get a 27-year-old guy to not leave Paris. Let's just hear a little audio of this, of what you're missing if you're not watching this shit show.
This room is going around there. You're leaving.
No, I'm gone.
You're not going.
I am going, bro.
You're not going.
I'm 100% going.
You're not leaving.
I have morals to stand by and listen to
me. Who stripped away your morals, bro?
Just listen to me. I did.
No one's judging your morals, bro.
The music is insane.
Tim
is one of my best mates in the whole world, and he's packing his bags, and I'm really upset.
You're not going out like this on me, man. I'm your best mate.
It's not about you, bro.
It is about me.
It's not you. It's me.
I need you.
Yeah, I know you do, but I'm not staying here. You can survive on your own.
Oh, come on. Did you know I came here because of you? Tim, please, bro.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. It goes on and on and on. He's 40 years old. Miles, what did you think when you saw that scene?
You're not going, bro. You can't go, bro. Not now, bro. It is about me, bro. It is about me.
I honestly thought he was going to fight him. I thought he was going to fuck the other dude up. Because when there's a moment where he tries to leave and he gets in his space.
Yeah. Oh, and no. Yeah.
As a toxic male, I was like, okay, so we're fighting?
Yeah.
Because it was I thought he was going, you're not going, bro, and I'll kill you if I have to, bro. It was so frantic. It gave me a lot of anxiety, but also the best cringe laughter I think I've had in a minute.
That also goes on for like 5 more minutes, just so you want, it goes on and on and on. And then he thinks the guy has left.
Because he's leave,
just.
Right?
He's just talking to his girlfriend, and then the guy thinks he's left. He's like, he goes and packs his bags, walks out of the little hotel that they're staying. Production has to be like, he's here. And then he does the walk of shame back into the hotel. It's incredible. Would you do that over a friend of yours? Would you do that as a 40-year-old man talking to a 27-year-old dude?
Who knows? I'm realizing I'm so old and like washed by the second that I don't put it past. Like if I met some cooler person who helped me feel cool and young, I'd be like, no, bro, I need you to feel youthful again, bro.
Well, maybe you're going to feel this way about our next guest. Next guest, you're going to be trying to make him not leave. You're going to make crying when he gets off of the Zoom call. He's an actor. He is a writer. He's a comedian. He's a regular on Comedy Bang Bang, which you guys know from Scott Aukerman and Lauren Lapkus, who are on our podcast. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He was a writer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He is currently a writer on the sitcom Kenan, where our girl Fortune Feimster is a regular on. And we tried to get him on earlier this year, but he had to write. And we've been obsessed with him because he has been doing Instagram stories about The Bachelor, and they were amazing. And I just remember the first episode watching him in his car talking about Katie, and he was calling her Dildo Bay. And then I sent it to Debbie Ryan, who was our Bachelor of the Year 3 years ago. She's like, oh, my God, who is this guy, Dildo Bay? Well, he's finally available, and we got him. We love him. Welcome to the podcast for the first time, Carl Tart.
Hey. Oh, my gosh, what a resounding. Let me tell you something. First of all, very much younger than Miles. I believe our age difference is 40 and 27.
Yeah, yes. Well,
hey, show us with our hats off, though.
Okay. Nah, I'm going to keep mine on.
No, bro.
Hey, but Miles, I got a secret for you. Wait till August, though. That's going to be a little different.
Oh, no. Don't do it to me.
I'm going to have to do it to you, King.
What are you going
to
do? What happens in August?
It's already done.
He's back. We'll have to have him back on the show.
I'm back.
The hatless episode.
All right. I can't wait. I'm ready. Okay, wait. So talk to me. Carl, we're so excited to have you on.
I'm excited to be here.
Your Instagram, was this your first season that you watched The Bachelor?
This was my first season. They advertised it on TV as, y'all, we finally got a king in the house.
Yes.
And so I had to check him out. I had to see what he was about. And let me tell you, I was disappointed.
Break it down. I want to hear, speak freely, your overall thoughts. All right, what did you think of the season? What did you think of Matt James? What did you think of the ladies?
Okay.
Carl, we'll start with you.
So what I thought of the season was, wow, I know why I never watched this show, but I also can't believe I never watched this show.
Right.
So I was torn in both of those directions. The other direction I was torn in was like, man, they said they're going to get a black dude on this show, and they got – this guy. Now, let me be clear.
Yeah.
Let me be clear.
Please.
I do not I do not criticize people's different levels of blackness. Blackness is not a monolith. We all come in different shapes, sizes, and colors. I'm a Twix. Miles is a payday. Like,
yeah, great.
We all come in different forms. We all grew up differently.
Yep.
My thing was, it wasn't about him being not black enough or anything like that. That's crazy. That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, sure.
He was just lame as hell.
He was. I will say, if this is your first season, he's so sweet. He's very polite. This was a boring bachelor. A nice guy, but this is a boring bachelor.
Mm-hmm. He just, I remember seeing right before the season started, I saw him doing some TikTok dances with his boy.
And Tyler. Listen, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah, Tyler C. Is Tyler. That what it was?
Tyler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler C.
And I was like, oh, no, not my guy. You too old for that, homeboy. Y'all too big. Both of y'all, boy, you 6'5", bro.
Yeah.
Right.
They're huge.
You better go to LA Fitness and get next on the court.
Yeah.
What are you doing TikTok dances in leggings?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So then, Miles, overall, so you went on this journey with us. We started out with picking. We did our draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
You called it right out of the gate. You said he's going to pick a white girl. You said it immediately.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could, you know. I
knew that from the prayer.
Yeah, exactly. You knew it from the prayer. You knew it from a lot of things. But, you know, to Carl's point, there were it felt like how the movie Soul, that Pixar movie that came out, people, mm-hmm. black people were like, oh, is this the black people going to get Coco now? And it's going to be Soul. And it wasn't it. It was a story that had a black character, but the cultural touchstones weren't such that it felt like a celebration of black culture. Whereas Matt, just with like, I could tell the way he was like basically getting the fade on the back part of his head, something was amiss.
Yeah.
Because whatever his barber or was doing or not doing for the initial fade for the to begin the step cuts,
yes.
It was not right. And I was like, okay, well, sure. Then after seeing like the Mitt Romney stuff, it all felt very, and I said this before, like ABC did the thing that they were going to do where it's like, we'll have a black bachelor asterisk. Don't worry. He's also technically a conservative white Christian man.
Yeah.
Yes. Genetically. So,
and he's bringing his barber.
Right.
He's bringing his own barber to Mel and Colin.
Yeah, yeah. The white guy who keeps calling him brother.
Yeah,
brother.
Oh.
Right, brother. Hey, brother.
Oh, my God.
That's like his barber. But yeah, I think there was like, you know, you could feel that they were trying to sort of tick too many boxes with him. And because of that, like, you're just left with like this manila envelope of sexiness that is just sort of bland and not much to really talk about.
I didn't introduce also here. We have Anna Hosni and Katie Levine, of course, our production staff.
Production crew, shout out.
Our production crew, Please shout geez. Out. Well, it seemed like from the get-go, you could see that Chris Harrison from the very first, like, was panicked about addressing the fact that they had their very first black bachelor. Like, just terrified that when they had that chat, in that fireside chat, and in those like high back chairs up in the attic at Nemecolon, like, and it was, he was just brushing off. It was the worst conversation.
Yeah.
He was terrified.
Carl. Start the Black Eyed Peas. I'm Chris Harrison.
Right.
Where is the love?
Yeah. It was like, what the fuck? He really has such a one-dimensional way of like talking, you know, because you have a older white man who I'm sure is, you know, socioeconomically done very well for himself in his life to try and approach a conversation that is as nuanced as coming out of the year that we are in currently, 2020. Right.
Yes.
And the significance of having a black bachelor for not having it so long. He was dealing it with it like the nervous executives were, who's like kind of like, it's kind of crazy, right? Like being like the first black bachelor, like, what's that like, huh? Like, wow, huh?
Yeah.
It's like, what? That ain't helping anybody.
No.
You're nervous, fool.
He was terrible. Well, the sheer fact that, like, you know, Anna was saying last week that clearly they, you know, they clearly they didn't bring in anybody behind the scenes to produce any kind of a show like that really had anything different than how it's sort of always been. Like that the man behind the curtain was just like terrified trying to appear like they were doing the right thing without actually like building in any infrastructure or like producers or anything that could have any kind of a delicate touch with it or be able to address it properly.
Yeah, there were no people of color to be like, this ain't it.
Yeah, because that's what we say. You know, that's what we say, y'all. When something ain't it, we say this ain't it.
No one was like, ask this Carl is a bad idea.
Is this it?
This ain't it, King.
What did you guys think of all the women? Like, what did you think of his? It seemed like he had a good batch of like. There were some super villains, but then there was like a he had sort of some great women to pick from. What was as straight gentlemen? What was your take on the gals that were there?
My take on the gals was just like you said, good batch. Well, that sounds crazy for me to say. good batch. Good batch of gals.
Came out all right.
Good batch of gals. No, I had my favorites from the beginning.
Who were your favorites?
Okay, so Mari was one of my early favorites.
I picked her to win.
You picked her to win? Oh, I knew she wouldn't win it.
I picked her to be the next Bachelorette. I thought she was going to be the next Bachelorette.
Okay, I said, you know what? I take back the tone that I had with I knew she wasn't winning, because early in those conversations, I was like, first of all, I knew that he wasn't picking one of the black girls, especially one of the dark skinned black girls. I knew that wasn't happening.
Model. I thought he was going to string them along to appear that way, to do what these shows usually do. Like, all right, the black contestant has come far enough. Now we can get real about it. I thought he was going to do it, but he didn't even do that.
He didn't even do that. Chelsea, Ballhead Bay?
Oh, Chelsea. Yes.
Yes. Ballhead Bay. Beautiful. I wonder, was she getting her haircut by Matt's Supercuts? I wonder. But if his Fantastic Sam's, the guy that he had there.
Fantastic Sam Houston.
Yeah, fantastic. I knew that he wasn't picking any of them. I said Mari might be a chance. He might be like, see, I didn't pick a white woman.
Was Mari from the beautiful woman from Puerto Rico? Was that Mari? Yeah.
Okay, but that's not who I Miss thought was, Puerto Rico.
Okay, I thought Mari was going to be the Bachelorette, I believe. I picked Maggie, the pharmacist from Ethiopia. I think I picked her to take it, and she didn't get any action.
Yeah, she didn't. We didn't hear nothing from her.
No. Okay, so you liked Mari.
Mari. I liked Dildo
Chelsea?
Bay. Dildo Bay was the only one I actually followed on Instagram. Whoa.
How come? Why did you like Dildo Bay?
And Jacinia. I followed Jacinia, okay, too. But she showed her ass at the end.
Jacinia! Interesting.
Yeah, but and I liked Bree, of course. I think Bree was everybody's favorite.
Wait, tell me about Jacinia. You said she showed her ass at the end?
She showed her ass at the end?
She showed her ass when she snitched on Teeth. Teeth Bay.
What's her name?
Anna.
No. She snitched on MJ.
MJ.
She snitched on MJ. That way.
She made it. She was playing the game. She was on The Mole. Y'all remember that ABC
show?
That's what she was on. She was a mole.
That's right. She snitched on MJ for being an asshole and then turned around and was an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was an asshole when the minivan bay rolled in.
Yeah.
I loved her, though, because from the beginning, I was like, that's like the homegirl from high school that I had a crush on or whatever, but I never like told them I had a crush on them, because you notice them. But as always, you notice them. That's why I was like, Jacinia's going to be that person in the background. I was like, Jacinia, that's right. You're on the show.
That's right. Your whole pitch from the you. So, Carl, if you ever want to do, if you are willing and interested to continue watching Dildo Bay's love journey, so we'll look at people's dating, like their profiles on the ABC website before the season. And we do draft picks based on their bios and their ABC photos. Okay. And I remember Miles, just based on her photo alone, he did draft picks with us. So we pick out who's the top three, who's getting to hometowns, who's he going to fucking like a Marriott, and then who's going to be the villain and who is going to win, who's going to be the Bachelorette. I remember Miles saying Jacinia was the one that you sort of forget about because she's not as beautiful and flashy as some other ones. But then you go, oh, right. Hey, Jacinia.
And you love her.
And you love her.
Jacinia is – Miles and I both grew up in L.A.
Right.
And Jessenia is definitely like our bag, like in high school. Like, and that's the girl that you too, just like you said, too shy, you too shy to really talk to her, but you walk by and you get a yuck off. Be like, man, I bet you ain't do your homework today.
Right. And I'm like, no, for real, let me look at your homework though. Let me look please. And they did. And that's how you start to fall in love with them, because they extended a hand.
Yeah. Aww. They be like, here, take it. Don't don't let the teacher see. Don't let the teacher see.
Oh, Jessenia's gonna help you. Jessenia's gonna help you.
And then when you're like super high, you're with your homies, you're like, yo, I'm feeling Jessenia though. You're like, what fool?
They be like, whoa, Jessenia.
No.
I'm about to see if she's coming to the game tonight.
Can I tell you how happy I bet Jessenia would be? I feel like we need to tweet at Jessenia. Please, our listeners, all let Jessenia know that she has two fans right here, because I feel like she didn't get the love that some of the other gals got. And I feel like Jessenia needs to listen to this, that she's being celebrated.
Right. I just also like that she had MJ like stutter stepping when MJ was clearly trying to lie and double down. Like, yeah, maybe she snitched on her, but I was like, get her ass, Jessenia.
What did you guys think of MJ? Because Jerry Traynor, he was still super hot for MJ even after she was sort of trash. Like, what was your vibe on MJ?
Is he still single?
Yes.
All right.
You thought he hooked up with MJ?
No, I was just curious where he's coming from.
I think he's still single. I mean, I think it's been like a year locked in his house, like growing his own hair. Sure. You know what I mean?
I didn't like the people who were doing like the Republican toxic shit of like getting caught and then doubling down, even though you know you're caught right there. It's just a bad look. Like, so I wasn't vibing with that.
I liked MJ. I liked her at the beginning because she seemed like the coolest. Like MJ, when she pulled up in the Jetta, she seemed like we could go to Wendy's, you know, like she seemed like the coolest. I didn't like that little alliance that formed with MJ, Victoria, and Teeth Bay.
Teeth Bay. And then you guys liked Bree.
Yeah. Bree was like, that's who should have been picked.
Mm-hmm. She was so beautiful. That was Anna's number one queen.
She reminded me of a babysitter that I had the wildest crush on when I was four, Elena.
She's stunning. I mean, like, she was so beautiful. She was smart. She was like, had a nice. I wish she was a bachelorette. I feel like guys would be lining up to try to win her heart.
I sign up. I'm trying to sign up for Michelle season.
Can we nominate you?
You can nominate me. I got to get my abs right though.
But I feel I feel like, because she's not filming till the fall because she wants to finish teaching her students for the semester. So she's going to do it during the summer. So you have till the summer. Oh, we have to nominate you.
But you shouldn't even have to get your abs right. You should just go in. Your personality's enough. She would love you. She's also, they wouldn't show it during the season, but like, she's funny. She's down to have fun. She was making fun of Matt with all the push-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
Athletic too. Athletic. You could tell she could hoop. Like, I was like, okay, that's my type right there.
Her mom could hoop. Her mom, like, her whole family was so cute. Cool. Oh, my God. I feel like you would do well because I feel like funny, you're a nice guy, you're successful, but, like legitimately funny hasn't really been on there very much. And I got to say, as a human lady on earth, that's a hot commodity. Well, like, if somebody can make you laugh, really
legitimately funny, but also called too talented to be on the fucking Bachelorette. It's really more than anything, you know what I mean?
I know, but it
could make your career.
It'd be so good.
All this other shit I've been doing, and you just remember me from being the abs guy from Michelle's season?
The Bachelor? Yeah, listen, I'm walking in the first day. Listen, my name is Carl. I'm younger than Miles, and I'm not here to take no bullshit, okay? I'll slap everybody.
Yeah, come here, I'm like, hey, don't believe that, and my wig is blowing off in the wind. Like, oh, shit, hold on.
Here's your wig. And then,
hey, Carl's then full of shit. Oh, fuck.
And then you hear a rumor that Carl's leaving. You're like, no.
Was it, though, this season, though? It feels like there were a lot of people who normally, like, are too real to be on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Like, they seem like mismatched. They seem like we saw genuine human contestants this year versus like the, you know, influencer lifestyle seeking automatons that usually are contestants. So I'm curious, like, how any of these people end up with their own season. Like, Katie, I think she's built out of, you know, she's made from Bachelor Nation parts. and I think understands the franchise. But someone like Michelle, I feel like, has a very sincere heart, but maybe she's just like waiting for that opportunity. Cause like, I got to get off these fucking Zoom classes.
Okay. You know what? We're going to take a break and we'll come back right back, okay, and we'll discuss that. Cause I have a theory about that.
Bone Zone.
Let's get in the Bone Zone, guys.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So Miles, before the break, asked the question about if that Katie was built for, like, she's sort of like a Frankenstein of bachelor parts.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I agree with you. I feel like, and I'm, because Katie, our producer here, has seen every single season. I feel that Michelle seems like the realest one we've had since I've started watching. I think the closest one to that maybe was Becca, in that she was, I don't know. I mean, Rachel was a lawyer. Rachel was a practicing lawyer.
Right.
But Becca seemed like – she seemed like she wanted to stay in, like, Wisconsin or wherever she was from. And
Minnesota.
Like Minnesota. But she was in PR. And that, to me, is already, like – that means you're drawn to, like,
right,
publicity.
And a lawyer, there's money in being a lawyer. There's no money in being a teacher. Like,
you're right.
You're fucking – you're built to be a teacher. Like, that's a – I commend people who choose that as a profession because it's so selfless. That's – I'm like, that doesn't quite match to with, like, people I see on reality shows a lot.
I hope she doesn't get put through the machine in a bad way that affects her soul. You know what I mean? That, like, I hope she finds her person and stays, you know, in her hometown and continues doing her teaching versus, like, quitting it, coming to LA, moving to, like, Toluca Lake and becoming a correspondent for, you know, Access Hollywood or whatever, like, but like the teaching segment, you know.
If I win, that's what she's gonna have to do.
I
do live in Toluca Lake.
Okay, great. There we go.
91602.
You know what? She could do segments on the Today Show or whatever. She could do, like, the, like, learning things on the Today Show, or she could teach in Toluca Lake.
Yeah, why not?
What do you think, Katie? How do you think she's going to fare as a bachelorette?
I think she's going to be great. I think that – I really hope that she kind of, you know, stays true to herself. But I think you're right. I think she might be one of, like, the most real people that has been on the show. And I hope that – I just hope they don't, like, try to, like, fuck her, you know, and they just, like, put in some really douchebag guys and just – you know, hopefully they'll learn their lesson and just put in some, like, really genuine guys in there.
Another white racist. They're just like,
Literally.
Dude, I
have.
I wouldn't, the fact of the shit they've done, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they're so fucked up. It's just insane.
You know that there's going to be at least one white racist. Hopefully she doesn't fall for him. Every time they've had a black lead.
They can't do that again. Are you kidding?
They can't, but they just did it with Matt. Oh, yeah.
It's impossible.
Let's not let politics separate this. I'm telling you, I'm good for you, okay? Listen, yeah. When I was younger, my mammy was black. And I felt like she was a woman. She would let me put lotion on her elbows.
Oh, and no.
When I think of her, I think of nothing but love. Nothing but love.
I don't see color. And honestly, yes, I was wearing, you know, makeup to maybe look darker in that video, but I think it should count for something that I hit the moonwalk so smooth.
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing. Michael Jackson. That was the best era of Michael Jackson.
Think about, yeah, and I'm honoring that, but I hit the moonwalk so smooth, though. I look like Jaden Smith in that one video that blew up. It was fucking smooth.
Anna is like doubled over in her closet with her blurred background.
That's the logic ABC producers would apply. They'd be like, well, you know, he did hit the moonwalk pretty smooth.
So apparently Chris Harrison now, I didn't know this until Anna just texted me right before. I haven't been able to open up. So maybe Anna, you can be our correspondent. Allegedly, after Chris Harrison fired off his mouth with Rachel Lindsay in a way that was so brutal, just went on and on and on and on and on and couldn't stop getting in his own way. And
2018 was 5 years ago. Okay.
Who are you, Rachel Lindsay? Who are you? Anyway, apparently he's lawyered up. So what's the deal? Apparently he's hired a power lawyer.
Because if you get called out for not understanding race in this country, your first step should be to get a high-powered lawyer.
Apparently he's really pissed off, right? He's like ticked off.
So he got Brian Friedman, who represented Gabrielle Union during her dispute with America's Got Talent, which is a real dispute versus this one, which is just like learn something. But it says they put out a statement saying Chris has a spotless record for 20 years and he's always been a good company man, which for some reason, good company man always sounds
like there's bones in the backyard.
He says, but after the way he's been treated by producers and executives over the past couple of weeks, he's run out of cheeks to turn, which is like, okay. And then he's like, now he's ready to tell the truth about how things really work over there. And he has plenty of evidence to back him up.
Wait, when did this story come out?
Today? Was that today?
No, it came out March 22nd, yesterday.
So he's running the Sharon Osbourne playbook right now?
Yeah.
So I fucked up on camera, and now I'm the problem? Oh, no. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fucking threaten to snitch on everybody because what?
Is that exactly what she's doing?
Sharon, yes, that dumb shit she said on the talk, she's now threatening to spill all the secret. She said, she knows where the bodies are hidden on the talk.
Oh, boy.
Nobody watches the fucking show.
Eve made rap music, and her rap music said bad words. I can't believe that this is what they are doing to me.
Eve, your own song was Love is Blind. You should know that. And it'll take over your mind.
Eve's got little paw prints on her booby doodles.
How is she a stripper in Philadelphia with such small breasts? I'm sorry.
But that's the exact same thing. Fuck up and now threaten the showrunners to.
I like it. Basically blackmail. It's like, well, it's basically saying what I hear. And tell me if you're hearing something different. What I hear when I hear that he's threatening to say that he's been a company man and he's going to tell all on the production that he's towed the line for however many seasons. I hear if you don't have me back on after Katie's season, and I'm sure some bad things have gone down on this show. Like, I'm sure if he really did talk, I'm sure there's messed up things that have gone down over the years on this show. And I bet this is his way of like openly blackmailing them to to try to get him back on? Is that what's happening? Is that what he's trying to do?
They replaced me with the black male. Now I'm about to show them some black male.
Right.
I'm Chris Harrison. You know, I feel like he was – I don't never felt like that he was actually fired. Like, I thought
he hasn't been. He hasn't been.
So what is this about?
Yeah, wait. What is he? What's he going on?
I think it's because originally they were like, he's going to step away from After the Final Rose.
That's for that one episode.
There was still backlash of like, what the fuck? Because then he went on Good Morning America and tried to do an apology. And Michael Strahan was like, I don't believe it. Which
I don't accept his apology.
And then after that, they made him, I guess, step away from Bachelorette, I guess, Katie's season as well. And that's, I think, what led to this of him being like, wait a second. He can't come back for Michelle's season either. Like, I don't want you there when a black woman has to go through this because you have proven yourself, like, incapable of understanding he's the struggle.
He's doing the Hollywood professional version of the January 6th insurrection. The racist didn't get what he wanted, was held to account, and he's now threatening the thing, like, with its own racism. It's, like, so confusing.
Well, and even just hearing
he's not willing to be held to account at all. Like, oh, it's such an interesting reaction where the binary is to accept what you've done or to resist. And he's chosen to resist in the most like aggressive way possible rather than accepting that he was completely ill prepared. He's ignorant. He has a lot to learn and a lot of growth to do still. And having that be his journey. But he's not interested in that. So he's like, I'm going to fucking bring everyone down, motherfuckers. Come on, man.
He got on that show. I was like, I'm sick of this shit.
Right.
I'm sick of this woke shit. Go back to sleep.
Oh, my God. How many times he said woke police? Like, just the phrase woke police. The amount of phrasing of woke police. God bless Rachel Lindsay. Of what she's had to – she had to sit there and, like – and she talked about that on her podcast, of having to sit there and keep her calm and, like, deal with this guy – who was just like, he did it to himself, you know? Like, and she,
it went on and on.
And apparently when he walked away, he felt good about it. Like, he felt like he thought it was a good interview.
He was like, I might get some slack, but I think that went pretty well. Like, I'm so glad. The thing I always hate is when, you know, people who are clearly saying something very problematic are like, I'm so glad we can always have this sort of discussion and we can disagree. And it's like, bitch, you said some racist shit.
Right, just because I didn't stab you as my first reaction to what you said doesn't mean I'm thinking about it in the parking lot. But
we have so much mutual respect because I can say something incredibly racist and insensitive and you can just sit there and be like, what?
And you know where I'm coming from. And you know
and
my
disagree
heart.
With me. Yeah. It's like, no.
How did you guys feel? I mean, it was brutal. I'm obviously watching like the finale. What was your journey? How did you feel when Matt's mom saying love ends and then him folding in on himself and then watching Chris Harrison be like, there's my buddy. And then like, they sort of meet me at the lake. And then the sort of handshake will be together. It was brutal with the plantation.
It was awful. That shit. It was wild to me. I already figured once she made it to the final four, I was like, we know who he's picking.
Right. Yes.
He told us episode Juan.
And Chris Harrison told us by how crazy he was with Rachel. He wouldn't have been this crazy if she didn't win.
Yeah, no. So it was, and also, what I was taken off guard, what I was caught off guard for mostly in that part was how Matt was touching his mom.
Oh my God.
Did y'all see that?
Anna, will you put it in the chat? Have you seen, there's a tweet, there's a video of him rubbing her inner thigh in a way, his hand just like goes, it's the most intimate, no one's ever touched my inner thigh like that ever, no one. I was saying last episode, I don't think I would even give my father a handshake, much less like sit entwined like a Wetzel's pretzel with Willie Marine, just like having his hat, like me with my hand on his inner thigh, anything, no touching.
Send this clip really quick.
I'm looking for it.
We'll do a little
Katie. I miss that shit.
Here, I'll text her right now to... Hold on.
Hey!
It's like one, two, ooh, thumbs. The thumb, it's weird.
like they got Jergens on the table, though.
Isn't that so?
I've never had anxiety from the moment he shifted from thumb on kneecap to palm sliding up thigh.
Dude, did you miss it when you were watching it?
Yeah, because I have like a lot of the times I'm like reading something and watching reality TV.
Yeah,
but I can't believe I missed that because also I was also hung up on his mom reminds me of the football player Kurt Warner's wife.
I think she's Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For me, it's Brenda Warner from when the Rams won that first Super Bowl. Because she had this hilarious. Like shock of white hair. I mean, people were like, "Who's Kurt Warner's wife?" And she had big Kurt Warner's wife energy for all the Rams fans.
NFL oh my people. Gosh!
And that was back. That was back when they wasn't being 0.2% kinder to women right. like, on TV and their looks.
Right. But yeah, I don't know, like, I guess that's how they get down in their family. Like, they're just very oddly affectionate. Or, like, is he also on some weird, like, kind of autopilot mode where the cameras are on and he's interacting with a woman that it's always someone he's potentially could fuck? So he, in that moment, his circuit was fried and he's like, oh, right, it's mom talking to me, not someone who I'm, like, about to, like, make out. I don't know. It was weird.
I don't want to put nothing gross like that on nobody, but definitely that shit is weird.
You won't catch me doing anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, you ain't finna see me. Like, I'll just be sitting there frustrated with my mom. Ma!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, shut up. What'd you say? Nothing.
Nothing,
Ma. It definitely is. It was weird to watch because... On the one hand, now this is your first season watching, but oftentimes the parents, I thought her actual interactions with both of the young ladies, I thought she was lovely. Like she was very warm. She wasn't super defensive and sometimes people are like their hackles are up meeting. You know, I felt that she was very charming and welcoming, and, you know, and she teared up with both of them. She felt very gracious afterwards. She was like, I feel like I just met my future daughter-in-law. They're both lovely young ladies. And then she like shot the poison dart that was like, and you will be mine. You get to be mine. You will be mine forever. You know, like basically even his brother said it. Both of them are like, and he said it like, they've never fully seen him in love. They've never, like, there's some disconnect there where he can only get so far. Like, you know, he kept repeating, I'm not going to be my dad. I'm not going to be my dad. I'm not going to be my dad. And then, like, there did feel like there was a window of opening with both Michelle and, like, pretending that Rachel is a different person. Let's just pretend Rachel didn't have her terrible history. But, like, him with any woman... I feel like he would have just been shut down no matter who it was there. Like, that love fades. Like, I just felt badly for him. I felt badly for the guy. And then the hand on the inner thigh.
His brother was the funniest character on TV this year so far.
I loved it.
Rachel, can I steal you for a second? So, what are your intentions with my brother?
I loved it. He had like a long stemmed wine glass of like Chardonnay, like a big glass of Chardonnay, and was like really hitting the like hard hitting questions.
Can you describe a time that maybe you weren't proud of your behavior?
I loved it. I loved his brother.
He looked like Kaepernick mixed with Nip.
Yes, yes. That's what I said the exact same thing. I was like, Kaepernick and Nipsey in him.
Yeah, he was Kaepernick. I could not believe what I was looking at. It was and his raps are so interesting. That one lyric that he said was like, open the door, I'm fucking your daughter, was like one of the lines in his raps. I'm like, wow. Okay, what's his name? John?
John, yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Scorpion John.
John the Scorpio.
Yes. That's his rap name, which, you know, I found that interesting because Matt's social media implies that he's very religious, where he's like, I'm in the car and doing Bible study on FaceTime. And then you have John, who...
Open the door, I'm fucking your daughter.
Yeah, like, who also seems like 30 times more chill and fun. Like, just like a chill-ass dude.
I wish John had been our bachelor.
Right, but then it's like, but why have we never heard of John if he's got raps? And it's like, why is Matt not promoting his brother? Like, he has this platform. It's like, At least shout your brother out.
They're those like siblings, you know, where they're polar opposites. Like, mm-hmm. And Matt's that dude who's like took the sports too seriously and never like hung out with everybody. He's like, oh, I'm not going to smoke weed, dude. I'm trying to play football. I'm like, you think you're going to fucking never be good at football because you hit a blunt full?
Yeah. Matt, is that your Matt, bro? Is that like Matt was hanging around with all the boys in polo shirts and cargo shorts and Sperry's with no socks with like a trucker hat or like a Realtree hat, like to the side, yeah, kind of name. Yeah. Brody and Braden and those guys who were like Tyler. Baseball players who were like doing chewing tobacco when they were like 13. Yep. And those were Matt's boys. And they'd be like, dude, your brother, bro. Like, I'm not racist, bro. But like your brother. He's like black.
He's like ghetto.
Yeah, he's like ghetto, bro. I'm not racist, but ghetto. Like, yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. Like, how does that happen? Like, is it, you have the same dad? Are you okay? I'm like, thank you. And then he's like, yeah, I don't know, guys. What's your take?
Yeah,
my brother. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, it's fucked up.
John, for John. John, he's got to come do the Bachelor. Like, I wonder what he thought of his brother being the Bachelor.
He probably wasn't surprised. Like the second he was probably hanging out with people in orbit of the show. But what's interesting is like he doesn't seem like he hates his brother.
No.
You
know? So it's odd that like they are to me, I can like there's a tension, I think, just because they seem so have such different like lifestyles or perspectives on life. But then that you see like John actually be the brother who needed a goblet of wine to just kind of be like, no, you know, level with me here.
I love care about it.
My brother.
Go ahead, Anna.
I mean, he came in. He's like, yo, you keep track of your waves. Like, he checked in on him. He's like, your waves cool. And he's like, yeah, I got my waves cool. Like, and then immediately it felt like he was kind of like, look, I know my brother. Like, we've never been in this situation. But he's never like brought a girl home and been like, I love her. So like, he seemed like he knew his brother. Like, he knew what was up. He was like, so just so you know, like, this fool is out. Like, he's running around New York with Gigi Hadid. Like, he was spotted with Serena Williams. Like, he's out here. He's never come home and been like, here's like my girlfriend.
There is one person I would like to be with.
Now, rumor has it, we had a little mole intel. We have a little intel. And I never get, like, I don't ever want any spoilers. But as it goes, allegedly, one of our listeners gave us a little intel that she knows a little birdie that might work somewhere near there. Apparently, allegedly, he didn't sleep with any of them in the fantasy suites. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if this is real hot goss or if this is just bullshit. But I'm always curious. I always wonder if they get down like three nights in a row and now you look shocked, Miles. Talk to us.
No, I mean, I guess that really and that's on God, you know.
Right.
He was, I guess, is he walking like he talks it with the prayer and stuff? Yeah. He's really taking the sanctity of marriage that seriously?
All that butter he put on?
Yeah.
All that butter him and Michelle put on, they was buttered and surfed up. Bought me a pan of biscuits in there. Right. Dang, hold on now, y'all.
No, there's no, because remember he was being nasty in that yoga thing too.
Yeah, he was horny. He was horny with a Serena, Canadian Serena. So the word. So apparently, I don't know if it's true or not, but that is would. But to me, that's the whole like, if you're the Bachelor, and let's say you, that's sort of the fun of being the Bachelor is you get a free pass of like getting at it with like three gals, and then you get to,
well, you know, not only is he the first Black Bachelor, but he's the first Black Bachelor in Christ. He's taking that very seriously, it seems. But then it does track, because I remember the kids who were like wild, horny, and like religious, and they were nasty, like in public. Yes. But they would never. But that was how they got their shit out, because they were never going to actually, you know, had so much guilt about sex or whatever that they were just being like just wild out in public. So maybe that is him, but either way, I guess I didn't care.
Carl.
Yes.
If you were the Bachelor, would you take – if you had three dream girls, would you take the opportunity to get at it with all three in fantasy suites?
Absolutely, positively.
Yes, that's the right answer.
Those three?
Yeah.
I'm doing, first of all, I'm doing the butter challenge with all of them.
Yes.
They're like, you can use the same butter from last night.
Yeah. the soppy up with a biscuit, the country crock challenge.
Dude.
Now we can use this. Once we're done with this container, we can put some greens in it and freeze them.
Now, Tupperware now.
Miles, have you ever, Miles, you watched Claire and Tayshia's season and you watched this season and then you watched like the condensed versions of us. Have you ever seen A Bachelor in Paradise?
No. Just the only things I've seen are clips that Anna will send me.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk to you for one hot second about Bachelor in Paradise and then we'll wrap it up.
Ooh, I don't know about you, but things are getting so hot in here. I think I got to take a pee break.
Mother's Day is coming and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So, Carl, you've never seen anything besides this season.
Never seen anything besides this season. The only thing that I had seen before was when there was that weird, like, drunk sexual assault thing from a couple years ago.
Oh,
and I saw that.
Yeah.
Did you watch that season?
No.
Okay. So, basically, I'm going to guess by the time they get to Michelle's season, it will probably be more like a proper Bachelor season because the world will be vaccinated. So hopefully what you missed and what Miles has missed, and but he's seen in the condensed versions, normally half of the fun of this is like people, they're flying all – it's very unrealistic dates. It's a lot of like helicopter rides and castles and like stadiums and like just – it's like you're flying all over the world. And then – but it's all of like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they're all just farm teams for the greatest show on earth, which is Bachelor in Paradise, which is basically sexual musical chairs where you have to be like hooking up with somebody. And if you're not, like you get eliminated and they keep – filtering. So say like Anna and Carl are a couple, but he's been like waiting for Katie to come in. So he's like flirting with Anna, just waiting for the week that like Katie comes in. So you gotta, you never know if somebody's.
Oh, so it's, people are just playing the fuck out of each other.
Mm. But so they're playing the fuck out of each other. But this is a franchise where people actually, you spend more time together. So this, they usually film it in Mexico. They usually film it down near Puerto Vallarta in Sayulita. And there's been actually a lot of marriages and babies and stuff that have come out of here because people spend more time together. So, and they don't have to protect their leads. The editors will edit it where if somebody's hammered and talking to a producer off camera, they will fuck them over and edit it so it looks like they're talking to a raccoon or a crab or something. Like, it's really great. It's the best show on television. Do you wish they were not doing Katie as a bachelorette?
I don't know.
I don't know. Go ahead, Mom.
Keep going. Keep being diverse. People aren't going to watch because you're diversifying the cast.
Yeah.
And Katie feels like a bachelorette. I've seen her on every bachelorette poster.
I feel like she seems perfectly nice. I like that she stood up for people, but I do feel as though there were so many great women that were cast on this that were like, there were so there like that were not just another white girl. Like, there were so many different, like, there were so many women to pick from that they could have picked from.
Yeah.
And they went back to what they always pick from, which I thought was disappointing.
I wouldn't mind seeing, I mean, she's white still, but I wouldn't mind seeing Def Bay as a bachelorette.
Me too. Because that would have been interesting. Because we haven't seen, like, that would have been something that
that's,
we haven't seen.
That's still differently abled people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at least that's a diff. That's where we're diverging from just sort of like this traditional, you know, American idea of what is sexy white people.
Well, that was our guess. We sort of felt like early on that they were keeping her from him because she came out so strong out of the gate. We kind of felt like they were keeping her. And then he never took her on a date. We thought ABC was like keeping her for themselves to make her the bachelorette. But they just fucked her over. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. All they did was – she'll be in paradise. She'll maybe find some love in a hot tub in Mexico.
But do people get really like just devastated from the – fucking deception down in Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, I guess some people probably end up with somebody they want to be with, but like, aren't some people like just epically fucked over that they're like,
I mean,
but it's TV anyway.
So. But the world is different. It's an interesting thing. Like, I think a lot of people, the goal is to get to Bachelor in Paradise even more than winning because it's fun. You get to go hang out in Mexico for a month, like at a pretty resort. And that's where they all get their Instagram followers. So they don't have to go back to the – they don't have to go be a dental assistant again. Like, they can do FabFitFun boxes with their code. You know, they can be – like, if they hit a certain number of, like, followers. We were in Nashville a couple years ago and, like, you know, a lot of them had their apartments covered in these nice new builds if they, like – like tweet, you know, put Instagram, like where living. Like, you know, so I think for a lot of them, the goal is building their brand so they don't have to work.
Ugh. You hate to see it. You hate
it. Isn't that true? Is there anything? So overall, you guys are going to keep watching.
I don't know if I'm going to keep watching. I wouldn't mind. I would not mind seeing Victoria on this Bachelor in Paradise thing.
Oh, she'll be there. She'll be there.
Oh.
Carl, we hope you keep watching. We understand if you don't. But if you do keep watching, we would love to have you back on with us because you're a delight.
I would love to come back. I would love to come back. And also, here is what will keep me watching. Katie's season, if all the contestants, if they go down to Howard University and Clark Atlanta and Jackson State and Alabama State, and they just get a bunch of frat boys from, they get the Alphas, the Kappas, the Q Dogs, and those are all the contestants, just a bunch of college age black dudes.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm in.
All right.
And well, you know, she was on Matt's season. So as a casting producer, I'm like, oh, you're going to say something?
Yeah. No.
Can I mention these black men?
Oh, okay. How old is Katie?
How old is Katie?
I think she's like 28, right?
There was a little preview. Katie saw a hot guy that was – there was a little preview of some of her guys. So if you have any desire to do some – if you have any desire – she's 29.
Yeah.
If you have any desire to do some draft picks with us, we can hook you in. I'm just saying.
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. So you guys can be part of our draft picks that'll hook you in, and then you'll get – we were – Overall, Miles, how do you rate us? We thought the villain was going to be the lady with the lips who had like the food bar thing, and she never said anything.
Amber, right? From Costa Mesa?
No, that was Ileana or something.
Or Ileana.
Ileana from Costa
Everybody's
Mesa.
Got the lips.
With the lips, and she was a mom, and she had a food bar company, but she never said anything. And I think there was a few of people that we were like, that's the one.
But we did clock Victoria as a villain. Like, we knew that from the beginning. And Katie. That was like the first note I took was that Katie, and I mean, not that Katie was like a villain in a traditional sense, but she definitely set it off by not, you know, wanting to sit around passively while people were being toxic as fuck.
Right. And we knew somebody. Victoria put her occupation as queen. She led with that. It was interesting to me that Dildo Bay thought she was going to be the villain. She came in when she poked the Miss Puerto Rico was talking to Matt about her grandparents' devastation from the hurricane, and she comes in and pokes her in the cheek with a vibrator. The sheer fact that woman is now the Bachelorette has been. And then she quickly realized. I think she went in trying to be the villain, and then realized she was out villained by Victoria, and then. And now she's our Bachelorette, which is crazy.
She couldn't even just violate Miss Puerto Rico with the vibrator, which is I had an adrenaline rush when I saw that. I was like, you have to.
That was disgusting.
You cannot.
That was disgusting.
You cannot let this stand. You cannot let this stand. But also, you're on TV and you're.
She poked her with a vibrator that was the storyline was it was like her theory had been used, like this was her vibrator.
Can I ask one last question before we head out? How did you guys think Emmanuel Acho did as the guest host for After the Final Rose?
That's a charming man, and he knows it. That boy was cheesing in that camera. I thought it was. I mean, he was holding feet to the fire. He got in there and he was asking the question. And I feel like he's such like, you know, he's an ex-football player. He's probably such a big dude. He's like, who going to stop me from asking this question? Right. What you going to say? Yeah, Matt, I'm asking you. Matt, why you picked the white girl, Matt? Matt, why you picked the white girl? And then he's like, stand up. Look me in my eyes, man.
Flips the coffee table between them.
Somebody was pointing about how they're both so huge, too. And they somehow they had extra like low couches. So they look so enormous on those tiny couches. They're just huge dudes on tiny couches.
I only saw clips of him, but it seemed fine. Anything that isn't Chris Harrison is a win.
Yeah. It was a cringy that Chris Harrison still had the voiceover for it. It's like, and now after that, it's like, oh, you're still here? Like, no, go away. The whole point of this is that you're supposed to not be here.
He's like, and coming up, Emmanuel Acho. It's like, what? You're announcing your replacement?
Yeah. I'm kind of the voice of systemic oppression, huh? Throughout this whole thing. Anyway, I'm never leaving.
And they made Emmanuel Acho say Chris Harrison like made a few blunders for which he apologized. And I was like, all right, but it wasn't accepted. It wasn't, the apology was not, you didn't mention it wasn't accepted.
I'm curious if you guys would be, because I thought Emmanuel Acho did a good job. There were a few points where I was like, well, they have to say this kind of stuff, but it's also just whatever. But also, do you guys think he could potentially replace Chris Harrison moving forward?
It depends on what happens with his lawyer stuff. The fact that he lawyered up, because I literally looked at it like, all right, man, he gonna step away for this episode, but he'll be back. Like, I don't think he needs to be fired for this. I didn't think it was that serious, but like he lawyering up, they might be like, you know, we're getting you out of here. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
My power just went out.
Great. Look at you go, though. Look at you adapting. He did not miss a beat.
Sorry, but my thing is recording still locally, so I have the file.
Do you think Chris Harrison will be back, Miles? And do you think Emmanuel Acho will replace him?
Do I think, yes, Chris Harrison will be back, because that's just the pattern of our country.
Yeah.
I think he will be back, or we'll get the mess that we deserve, in that the producers will draw a line and say, sorry, we actually need to move on and evolve a bit. And then he'll dig up all the ABC bodies and see how cool those look.
I mean, it will be crazy if we hear what he digs up.
Right, exactly.
Oh, we got so many great reviews. As you know, I'm on a mission to try to get to 2,000 stars by 2022. Keep on keeping on. I know we got a couple month break now, so we gotta, like, if you're bored, just go like it over there. Here's one we got. 5 stars. This was a lovely review from Luke from Aspen. The subject is long overdue review of the best bachelor. I'm very fancy now. Of the best bachelor podcast around. To my favorite bachelor podcast, 3 things. 1, 5 stars, of course. Here's to 2,000 stars in 2021. Yes, Luke. 2, shout out production crew. I find myself leaning in every time Arden says, I see you leaning in to Anna or Katie. As a fellow podcast producer, y'all wear the production and talent hats marvelously. So shout out you two. 3, I can't overstate how well this podcast has walked that new weird tightrope that Captain Harrison and the Bachelor producers have forced us to walk through. I'm stumbling because I don't have my glasses on and I will not accept the fact that I can't see. I don't have them in my garage right now. Arden and all her awesome co-hosts have thoughtfully considered all the recent tough issues, but most importantly, they've kept the podcast fun. While the Bachelor content itself seems to be dead set on making the show unfun. Other batch podcasts have become not so fun to listen to. Yours is the pod I really look forward to. The best bachelor podcast around. Love y'all. Thank you, Luke. Hey, shout out team. What did you guys think of that review?
That was great. Thank you for listening.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Thanks for supporting the production team.
Oh my God. Oh, somebody said, I love Bether73 gave us a 5-star review and her final line is, but truly it's the production crew that keeps me coming back.
I'm telling you, it's all about the production crew.
It's all about the production. You got to keep the production crew. Okay, here's one more I'll read. And again, it's going to stumble through because your gal over here is blind as a bat. 5 stars, 1 farm girl. The subject line is, I love this podcast. I've never seen any of the Bachelor franchise. Don't you guys love our listeners like that? I love how many there are. Like, it wows me that the people who don't watch The Bachelor listen to this. I know there's a bunch of you out there, and I give you all a safely, completely appropriate hug. Nothing creepy. A really loving hug in a very safe way. But I love listening to Arden and the gang. I love the humor, the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the insightful comments. I first listened when one of my favorite then radio personalities, now podcaster, Ralph Garman was a guest. We miss Ralph. We keep trying to get him on. He's busy. After that, I was hooked, and it didn't matter if Ralph was a guest or not. All of Arden's guests and technical staff, love you, Anna and Katie, are enjoyable, and I've met so many new people to follow in their careers. I love to hear Arden and her distinctive voice. It makes the podcast. At first, my boyfriend would ask me, why is that woman yelling at you? But after he actually listened to the content, he understood the energy and enthusiasm and loves to hear the comments. Keep up the episodes. I look forward to them and can't imagine what I did before I discovered them. Wow. Thank you, 1 farm girl. And shout out to your boyfriend. I love that anybody said, why is that woman yelling at you? I love Ralph Garman. You guys tweet at him that he needs to come back on this. And Anna, Katie, what do you guys have to say to the people that don't watch the show but listen to the podcast?
I mean, that's an interesting ride, but I encourage, I support you. Thank you.
It's an interesting
ride. I want to know, like, what they imagine the people look like. Like, when we were talking about, like, Victoria, what are they imagining in their head?
Oh, that's good. Like, yeah. Do they go on and get, like, do you guys even go get visual cues online? Yeah. Or are you purely, like, it's like, is it purely Once Upon a Time storybook and you're just imagining the whole thing?
It's like when we all, like, saw the Harry Potter movies and we're like, that's not what Hermione looks like. What's
going
on?
No, that's not her. Oh, my God. That's so good. That's not Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria's bra is way weirder than that.
Her eye is just leaking everywhere. It's really weird.
Oh, my God. I love that she got picked up for her style. Okay. Here's one of our – okay. So keep them coming. Anna's going to read one of our reviews.
From K Gaff, 5 stars. Love it. This podcast starring a fellow Little Miss Compton, has ruined The Bachelor for me in all the best ways. Now, when watching, I just imagine what the fabulous panel is going to say. I laugh out loud, which is greatly needed to offset the world news. I was a wee bit disappointed you all didn't touch on the dinging of the minivan when Heather got in to leave.
I didn't see that.
Oh, well, we'll have to go back and look at that. 5 stars to all of you, and I hope Arden will invite Ashley down to LC for a Paradise episode in my not-at-all-bougie garage, LC Little Compton.
And yes, also, girl.
I wish you covered Juan Pablo season. We did.
We did. Last year with Jerry and our bachelor historian, Lori, we did every episode.
Go back and find it. We covered it to prep for Claire's season. So go listen to that. I think you'll enjoy it. We had fun with Juan Pablo.
We also got some new emails. Here's an email. Need you to weigh in on a debate. This is from Shiler Turin. I might have to have Anna read this because I can't see anything. Here we go. Hi, Arden, Anna, Katie, and whoever else reads the emails. My friend Jenny and I have been in a hot debate and need y'all to confirm something for us. Is Rana's voice Jessica Chafin's actual voice, or is that part of the persona? I believe it is part of the character, because how can anyone have such a raspy voice all day long? Really appreciate your help settling this heated debate. Thanks. That's her voice. That's what Rana's. That's Jessica. That's what Rana sounds like. That's her voice. I mean, it's not her accent isn't all the time, but that's what Jessica's, like, the tone of the voice sounds like. Right?
I don't know, actually. I don't think I've ever interacted with Jessica. I think I've only ever interacted with Rana.
We have to have Rana back on. Rana was an all-star. There's too many great people now. It's an embarrassment of riches. And we'll be back. I think we're going to try to do a live show, either – probably it'll be like a virtual live one with Dynasty Typewriter, where we do our draft picks when they come out. So we'll do an announcement about that. And in the meantime, Carl, what would you like to promote? Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Damn It Carl. That's DAMMITCARL on Instagram. And watch Kenan on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. on NBC. Watch Kenan. Everybody loves Kenan. Kenan's been around for years. He's all of our best friends.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's the best. Watch Kenan. Get it picked up for a second season. He's a delight. Fortune's a delight. Carl's a delight. So, like, watch Kenan, everybody. Miles, what would you like to promote?
You can catch me, you know, if you like reality, come watch or listen to my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, where we're usually talking 90 Day and Married at First Sight, because that's just a worthy trash fire to gaze our eyes upon. So, yeah, we talked that. And hi, because 420.
I heard that Married at First Sight Australia is incredible. Speaking of Australia, Dr. Anna Banana and I are, once again, we are breaking down Bachelor in Paradise Season 3 Australia on our Patreon. You can watch the episodes on bachelorarchive.com. It's free. If you have any problems with it, you just have to set up an account. If there's any issues with it, email us at rosepodcast@gmail.com. We will help you get access to watch everything. Dr. Banana, what would you like to promote? Where can people find you?
I'm just at Anna Hosey on Twitter, and yeah, check out our Patreon. We are watching Australian reality television.
It's so good. My book, Mother's Day, is coming up. It's a great book for your mom. If you love your mom like I love my mom, my book's a tribute to my mom. So show your mama you love her. Little Miss Little Compton, available worldwide. And you can also get the audiobook if you need it, or a Kindle. And I'm at Arda Marine, MYRIN. KT Money, where can people find you?
I am KT_Money on Twitter and Instagram. And please donate to Asian American organizations. New York Magazine put out a really great article listing like 68 of them. So if you could just Google that and, you know, just be nice to each other.
All right, you guys, we will be back for Katie's season. It'll probably be a month or two, and we'll as soon as we hear from them, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, stay safe, wear a mask, go get your shot, have a good time, and we'll be back. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight. Gonna feel so good. I just got one little question for you, girl.
Will you accept this rose? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world?
Will you accept?
Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.